Edmonton, Colorado, different states and things like that. And I remember there's a guy there, he was originally from Texas, but he was living in Lancaster, California, about 6'4", real cowboy Texan, right? And he cried when they took away his Bible. And like, he cried so loud and so hard, they actually gave him back his Bible. I think they were scared of him because he was big. But we had so much fun, and God did some amazing, powerful things there. And we kept praying, and our prophetic group were praying, we're prophesying all over the place that this wall is coming down, and you know, all these things. And one morning we woke up, and the wall came down. We didn't believe it at first. And then we thought, wow, we're pretty cool. We're prophetic. We called it. Well, we've been calling it for 5 years before that. But so there's timing in that. Yeah. And after that wall came down, we kept going over. We had many amazing experiences, many scary experiences. And at the same time, about 2 months after the wall came down, Phyllis, my wife, she was running a Christian school in Dawson Creek. And she got part of King's Kids. Have you ever heard of King's Kids? They basically do singing and dancing and whatever and do evangelism stuff. And so they decided to take some King's Kids over to there, not knowing what was going on. And literally, when we first started going there, you spent half your day looking for food to eat. I'm serious. You go into a grocery store, normal grocery store, and there'd be like a chocolate bar, a couple of onions, some loaves of bread, and the whole back wall of the stores was vodka in different flavors, but hardly any food, and you had to kind of scrounge. And she had all these kids and did all that kind of stuff. And in her case, 3 years prior to that, her husband and son and a whole basketball team got killed in an accident on the Prince George Highway. So she was single. And for myself, 2 years after that first trip to Eastern Europe, my first wife died in a fire. And it's interesting. We were just about to go on a trip across Canada with a church in Saskatchewan sponsoring us. And we had this whole conference put together on the fire of God. And basically, life shut down for about a year. Because it's like we're supposed to be preaching on what the fire of God is, right? The Shekinah glory of God, all that stuff. We're so excited. And here it's fire that took my wife. And so I could say we've been through the fire. And then I sort of started getting my life together and went to Chetwynd to do a conference there and got there. And I thought, you know, I've been to Bible school. I know about grieving. There's five stages. Unless you're millennial, then there's seven stages, but whatever. And I had those down packed because I did them in 8 days. That's pretty good, eh? And I was done grieving. Wow. Sometimes you lie to yourself. Anyway, so, oh my goodness. So, I was running out of money, basically, so I took this conference in Chetwynd, and some people in Dawson Creek had sent Phyllis up to lead the worship there. And so I get up and preach for an hour or two, and then go in the back room and bawl my eyes out, and then come back in and be God's man of the hour for a while. And this lady came up to me, and she said, you know, I heard you lost your wife. And she said, yeah, I lost my husband and my son. Would you like to talk? And I said, no, I'm finished grieving. And she goes, oh, really? You know Phyllis, right? She doesn't pull any punches. I said, yeah. I said, I did it in 8 days. And she goes, I don't think you've done any of it. And I went, well. So I wouldn't even talk to her, actually, in her words. But anyway, through some, basically a year and a half later, we ended up getting married. And she'd lived 3 years in mainly Bulgaria, and I kept going back every year to Czechoslovakia, Hungary, every country actually except Bulgaria. And so when we got married, we thought, we can't do everything. So we took a trip over there, went to every place, and prayed and said, God, where should we go? Anyway, long story short, we made a commitment for 10 years to keep going back to Bulgaria. And why I'm saying all that is, you know, no matter what happens in your life, God is still the Redeemer. He can set people free. He can do things. I mean, we had some pretty hairy experiences. I've had rifles. I'm kind of a go-getter guy. We're at this prison once, and we had this newest camera out. It's called the digital camera, and it took 3.5-inch floppy disks that you put in them, and 10 pictures per disk. But we were pretty good, and so we march into this prison, being these wonderful, Phyllis couldn't go at that time, they wouldn't allow women in, taking these people, Bulgarians and our team. I'm clicking pictures, and not thinking of any, all of a sudden I hear this click, click, click all over the place, and I thought, what's this? And the pastor said, David, put the camera down. I said, are you kidding? Do you know what this is? He said, put the camera down. Just turn a little bit, and here's these guys with these guns. And he said, if you don't put it down real quick, they will shoot you. And so, maybe not every time my fault, but sometimes I've been in those situations. So, why we're here, I believe, is because God wants to do some amazing things. And we've discovered over the last 14 years that a lot of it is a place, sometimes it's a people, sometimes it's a thing, but sometimes the prophetic has to land in a specific place. And we've been waiting on this for 10 years to come to this place, the Cloverdale Christian Fellowship. And God was telling us it doesn't matter who's there or who isn't there. It's up to God. So I want to tell you, you just didn't, hopefully didn't come just for a word, because that's a dangerous thing. If you're begging for a word, I'll give you a word, trust me. No. And
read your Bible.
Yeah. Get out of town by midnight. No, anyway. But so you're here for a purpose. And I'm pretty sure, just praying and whatever, every one of you knows Jesus, has asked Jesus in your heart. But you know what? You're here for a purpose. And so we want to ask you to join with us. We were pretty sure there wouldn't be a big crowd here. I wasn't going to tell Randy that, but because you know, sometimes the smallest of groups can do the most amazing thing. So we want to work together. And first off, I want to, did you know in the Bible, there's 1 Corinthians 12, and then there's chapter 14. And between 12 and 14 is 13.
Very good.
I'm pretty good at math. And that's the key. The key to all ministry, the key to what Jesus does, is his love, right? 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And so there's been, we're now since early 1900s, we're on the fifth prophetic move of God in North America and kind of around the world. Many people don't realize there's been different versions of prophetic. When prophetic first started in the early 1900s, it was what we called simple prophecy. You take a scripture and you prophesy it. And you know how powerful that was back then? It's like people went, wow, God spoke. And now fast forwarding into 2020 now, actually the church despises simple prophecy. But it's the word of God. It's so powerful. It's so amazing. I mean, all prophecy has to be based on that anyways. But to prophesy the word of God, there's life in that. The word brings life. Actually, if you can handle it, who cares what your ministry is? What counts is, do you know Jesus? Do you know his word? And if you do, you can prophesy. Did you know there are several ways to speak scripture to people? And that's the key. We get into patterns. Like there's been lots of different prophetic moves, right? I mean, like halfway through this thing, I got into the vineyard movement. And to be vineyard, you have to, like this, make sure your tie's off. And then like this, come Holy Spirit. And then there was another move where we're going like this. And we're bringing the Holy Spirit, right? Every one of those was started by God. But sometimes it's easy to get into a pattern. When I went to Bible school, God kind of calmed me into that. I was a successful entrepreneur, restaurateur, and I was having fun, making money, teaching people, loved to teach people to do cooking and stuff like that. And God kind of did an end run. One day the BC Ferries Corporation decided to take away, they were going to take away the little ferry between Mill Bay and Brentwood Bay in Vancouver Island. Our restaurant was right there. And I would say probably 60% of our business was serving foot-long hot dogs to the ferry traffic and soft ice cream. And all of a sudden, there was this threat, they're going to take this ferry away. So our business started dumping. And I had no idea what to do, because I was a successful businessman. Well, then some JW people started coming by and telling me all their stuff, and I thought, this is weird. Then some Mormon guys, especially this one Mormon guy, he'd come every day at 10 o'clock for coffee. And I went, you know, I'm not dumb. I understand, as a Mormon, you're not allowed to drink coffee. And he said, but I drink coffee for medicinal purposes. It helps your headache. And I said, well, I wonder why you have a headache 10 o'clock every morning. He said, I don't know. I can't figure it out. He was serious. So why am I telling you all that? It's because the prophetic is powerful. I guarantee you, you've prophesied and didn't even know it. Let me give you an example. You ever been in a situation, you're just talking to somebody about life, about work, whatever, and you say a few things and then you go, where'd that come from? Yeah. It's like you kind of go, that's kind of a cool thought. Of course, you won't admit it to anybody, but you kind of go, I guarantee it's God.
Thank you, Lord.
What about in the old days before fancy phones? You're sitting around and all of a sudden it comes in your mind, you know, I should phone George. Or, I wonder how this person's doing. That's God speaking to you. This whole key is God loves you so much. He loves his children and loves to speak to them. And what he gets more joy out of is him speaking to you and you speaking to others. So prophetic is kind of relevant. It's true. We travel around the world. We've done amazing prophecies. I'll tell you one story. Well, I got tons of them, but one story about 3 years ago, we got this phone call from a couple and said, do you remember us? We get that a lot. And as Randy will tell you,
thank you,
I don't even remember people's names. Half the time, not half the time, I'm better. Sometimes I don't even remember my wife's name. It's true, I've never remembered name. But in going through all of those things, he knows his name. He knows how much hair we have in our head or don't have. And so, you know, bald people actually have a good, because God is a really good friend to them. Because it takes them about a split second, with some of us, maybe 20 minutes. No. Anyway, love must be sincere. Hate what's evil. I'll get back to the story. So as we're going on this phone call, and they're saying, do you remember us? And I'm going, what do I say? Right? And I'll say, usually I say, go on. And they said, well, you were in Kelowna, and you prophesied over our young son. And the first part of the prophecy was kind of smarting up in school and fooling around, and that you got to be a little bit better. Well, you could see the smile come on the parent's face. The kid wasn't too happy about it. And I said, and besides that, I believe God's told me that you're supposed to play the drums. Now the family was not too happy. Right? I can read body language. But nevertheless, and I said, because you've got to be better in school, because God has an amazing career for you, you're going to do some amazing things. So not only are you going to go to high school, from high school you're going to go to college, from college you're going to go to at least 4 to 5 more years of university, because God has some amazing things for you. And that was it. And I laughed and I thought, those poor parents. They got this young kid and he's going to be drumming his... Anyway, this couple phoned and said, we're in Ottawa and tomorrow we're going to be at a meeting and they're going to honor our son with the Order of Canada because he's become a surgeon and he does brain surgery and he's introduced some ways of doing brain surgery that's working even better. And we played that cassette tape so much that we actually had to transfer it onto some other media but we want permission to read that prophecy in Parliament. Now, I'm not doing this to say how important it was. That, to me, was a little word about a kid playing a drum. Yeah. And now we're 2017, this happened. And it's like, wow, how can God do that? We can do that. Right? But the key is love. If I have the gift of prophecy, have all mysteries, have all knowledge, and have not love, I'm nothing. I'm just a big noise. When we train pastors, especially in Eastern Europe, we train people in prophetic and things like that. The key is not how powerful your word is. The key isn't any of that. If people go out and say, wow, I know Jesus loves me, you're successful in God.
Very good, very good.
It's not some world prophecy. God's allowed us for 4 years to speak into the Macedonian government. We personally know the Vice Consul General of Macedonia. And 2 years later, we got to meet the Vice President. So in some ways, you never know who you're going to minister to. And you think as prophetic people, we know everything about everybody. No. We don't. God does. You can't read people's hearts, folks. It actually says that in the Bible. Unless God lets you do that.
That's right.
Right? God does deal with sin, but he does it in a cloaked manner. Some of you need to hear the next little part. In the Bible, King David, he's going along. Things are fine. He's kind of made it. He's a big king. Killed thousands of people. No, Saul got all jealous because they're singing David's killed his 10,000s and Saul, etc., etc. And they were out to war, but David stayed home that day. And he's running around the roof of the building. And he looks down and he sees this lady and goes, whoa. And he does this thing with this woman and everything. And it's so sad. And it gets worse. Then he has a husband killed. And it's like, how can this happen? How can this happen? So one day, I love this prophetic story, it's so cool. Nathan the prophet, he's a cool dude. He's what they call a court prophet. And hang on to that, because that's so important. He was a court prophet with the king. He prophesied to the king. And he comes in one day, and he's going, King, I got this story for you. There's this guy that has a whole bunch of sheep, another poor guy, he's only got one little sheep, and some visitors came, the guy with lots of sheep took the guys with the one sheep and took that animal and sacrificed and fed his guests with it. And it says, and David's anger just rose up and he said, who's that guy? That's it, he's finished. He's dead. And I can just picture this, right? Because if you kind of follow Nathan's life, he's quite an interesting dude. And I could just see him and he's, you know, kind of walking away, looking around. Here's these guards. See, back then, If you ever said anything against the king, off with your head. Right? It's not always fun to be prophetic. And he's walking along, and he just kind of turns like that, and he said, "And that man is you." Now, this guy had an incredible gift. Not only is he prophetic, but he knows how to handle people. Because if you said something wrong against the king, off with your head. Nobody else got the story, but what happened? It's a beautiful verse, and it says, King James, and David's heart smote him. He knew that he did wrong. See, that's how loving, how careful, how amazing God is. We get people all the time come to us and said, give us a word no matter how bad it is. And many times I'll say no. You may say you want me to do that, but you don't really want me to do that. Because if you really want to do it, God will. But he does it in a loving, in a caring way. And he'll do it in a story. He'll do it. We've called people up with lots of stuff and said this. And people come up and said, how do you know? And we're going, how do we know what? They said, well, you know what I know. And I said, so what is that? We're in Innisfail, Alberta, small farming community. The young guy in the back, we called him up. And we said, it's so exciting you love your grandmother so much. And as a matter of fact, God showed us a little bit about when you were a young kid, 5 bricks up and 4 bricks over, there was a loose brick in that house, and that's where you used to hide all your little toys and stuff like that. And whenever you went and visited Grandma, it was such a wonderful thing. And this guy's got this smile on his face, and he's so excited, and he's so happy. And we said, recently God kind of looked into that place again. And the guy just kind of went stiff and kind of just sat down, and that was it. And some people laughed. They thought it was a great story. The guy comes afterward, and he said, how did you know? I said, how did I know what? And he said, come on, I know you know that I know. And I said, what do I know? He said, well, that's where my stash is. I said, what stash? He said, well, you know. I said, what? And he said, well, it's a stash. I said, okay, I think I know, but tell me. He said, well, it's drugs, man. And I said, okay, so do you think that was God? He said, yep, I've been trying to get out of this, but I have no idea how to do it. And I said, well, if you're willing, afterwards, I'll go with you and let's go visit the police. See, it's great to give a prophetic word, but are you willing to follow it all the way through? You can give the biggest word in the world, but are you willing to follow it through? That's the whole key. Now, in some places that we go, we're not too popular when we talk this way. But the reality is there's accountability with prophetic. There's accountability with intercessors. You know what gets me really upset? And I'm still trying to reconcile it. Christine knows a little bit about this. I don't understand intercessors. How come they get stuck before us prophetic people? If you know about this kind of gifting, intercessors usually get stuck before even the prophetic get it. And why do they get it? Because they're intercessors. Because they're supposed to pray about it. And in our church in Calgary, we were up to almost 1,200 people, and we decided that we were going to try to put the intercessors and prophetic together. And it was, well, it didn't work. Because prophetic, they pray, God, heal our city, do this, and they're off going for coffee. Intercessors, they're just beginning. 3 hours later, they're still crying, they're still weeping, they're still interceding. I don't get it. But God showed me Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for me. Now it made more sense. Oh, you mean God's doing that for me? Now I understand intercessors. See, the problem is prophetic people believe everything they get is from God. Now, on the one hand, you have to believe that if you're a prophetic person. Think about this. Doesn't make sense for a minute, but it will. How could you possibly speak for God unless you know what you got is from God? So you're living in that world. It's not easy to really be prophetic. There are those moments when it kind of comes on you and there's that spontaneous unction, but you're still responsible for it. Right? It's like in the 1940 revival stuff, that move of God, most prophetic, started this way. That saith the Lord. Right? Then that kind of died out. And then it came up another way, and it came up another way. All of those were moves of God, but somehow we weren't too good at managing it. But we're here to proclaim to Cloverdale Church, is that what it's called? Cloverdale Christian Fellowship, got to get that right. It's on the record. That there's a new prophetic move. There's been several. We don't have time to go into each one right now, but there's been several. If I share with them, you'll identify them. But this move of God, we're not going to give it all away. The rest of that, we'll talk about that on Sunday, because that word has to land here on Sunday. If we're still allowed back, we'll see how we do tonight. But so each move is God has done amazing things. But each move ends up having a pollution. So it's the same thing with denominations, right? God raises up different things. But you know what? Overall, if you will call it that way, the evangelical, born-again, Holy Spirit community has survived actually three moves of God, and they didn't even know it. Because thank God we're starting to learn enough and get over ourselves. It's not the way we used to do it. It's what God's doing today with you. Even now, I prophesy sometimes differently than I did back in the beginning. Did you know that women can be in leadership? I only learned that in 1981. And I've been prophesying for already at least 10 years before that. So here's the biggest secret of all. Well, first I need to do this. How many of you think you're prophetic? I spoiled it for you. No. That's good. Okay, how many of you are intercessors? Okay. Good word, a little. Okay. So here's how I reconciled it all. Picture a big circle, or like a clock, right? 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Okay? At 12 o'clock, there's what we call, what Phyllis and I call pure prophetic. At 6 o'clock, there's pure intercessor. And in between that is that little. And I mean, you kind of already gave it away, but when I was back there, you're very prophetic, but you have that little bit of intercessor, and that's what you fight with. And so if you understand that you could be that, so you're prophetic intercessor, on this part of the clock, they're intercessor prophetic. Okay? Like if I can put Christine in her place. No, I shouldn't have said it that way. No. She's more intercessor than prophetic, right? So she's at about 1:45. So she's definitely lots of intercessor, but she's got that powerful prophetic edge to her, right? And then you got people like me who are sort of 12 o'clock, and I don't even understand intercessors. I don't want to. I have a scripture for them. Go into the closet and close the door and pray. It's a verse. Come on. Right? But if you understand that, so about 9 years ago, we invented this new thing that we call slash ministry. You know what slash is? Okay, slash is I'm a pastor. But slash ministry is actually I'm a prophet slash apostolic. Then there are others. So, okay, my job right now, I'm a pastor. But my ministry is prophetic /apostolic. And then God gave me a wife. She's opposite. She's actually apostolic/prophetic. So that could be lots of trouble because we're always trying to boss each other around and we always think we're right. So it can cause a lot of tension. But we realized that right off within a week of after we're getting married when we both tried to tell each other we're perfect without saying it that way. And we decided, okay, we're both perfect. We can do this together. And he has put us together. You've seen us over the years. There's a uniqueness about us. It's never, we speak together, right? We do everything together. So the key, I know it sounds like I'm going over the place here, but the key is this new move of the prophetic. It's powerful. You're going to have the ability, the unction, the anointing to speak to people that you may not even know who they are or how important they are or whatever, but it can be life-changing experiences. But the key is not to get caught up in that I prophesied to President Trump or whatever, right? I'd like to get a word in there. No, anyway. Well, actually, I kind of did. We just got back from Nova Scotia, and they have these brass statues all over the place of different politicians, and there's one of John McDonald sitting on a chair, and this was just before the elections happened, and so we're sitting there, and I was sitting there with John, and I was saying, well, you know, what do you think of this Trudeau guy? And he said, yeah, there's another one now. It took me a while to get it. No, anyway. But, no. Okay, get off here. Anyway. So we're saying a lot of this to encourage you. Because we were in Macedonia 8-10 years ago. I'm terrible at time. And this lady, Gordice, we told her about her. She's a vice consul general to the president. And God gave her the ability, after we did some prophetic with her and that, to become an Esther. Do you know the story of Queen Esther? Yeah. And so the president of that country, she's responsible for carrying out his orders, basically. And he told her wisely, he said that our country, because of communism, et cetera, most of our politicians are in their 70s and 80s, and we have nobody coming up through the thing. We got nobody if we start dying to take over the government. So I want you to search through the land and get 100 of the best high school kids between 10 and 12, and we're going to hold a 3-day conference and give them the best information, understanding, wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. And I charge you to get 14 people from around the world to come and speak to these kids about economics, about this, about this, about this. And so she said to him, sir, this is such a big responsibility. Do I have your permission to pray with my staff so we would do this right? And he said, this is too big of a project. Why would you want to pray? And all she said is, why wouldn't we want to pray? And he said, go. She went to her staff, about 60, 70 people, and said, this is what the president's charged us with. We got lots to do. Here's the organizer. She's an amazing lady. And she said, and every time we meet twice a week as a whole committee, we're going to pray first. And the same question was posed to her. Why would we pray? And she posed the same answer back. Why wouldn't we pray? And to make a long story short, they searched all over the place, her staff, looking for like heads of university, economic people, all this kind of stuff. And they ended up actually with 13 people, not 14. Something happened from different countries in the world. Every one of them was a Christian leader. She went back to the president and said, sir, I've got some confirmations, I've got this, but there's one thing I need to tell you and be honest about. She said, they're all Christians. And he said, how can that be? And she said, prayer. I mean, in some ways, it's so simple, right? But because we met this lady in a certain thing, and God gave her an encouraging word that she was going to be like Esther, that word came alive in her. And she was able to do that. So she kind of got us back. The next year, we had this meeting about this many people. And she said, okay, do your stuff, whatever you do. She still didn't totally understand what we do. And she said, you know, that's stuff that you say to people. And she sat back and we started ministering. First person about some healing stuff and another person about some business stuff. And we're going all the way through. And there's this tall guy about 6'2", maybe mid-20s. And I'm getting this stuff and I'm thinking, okay, it's what we call a God thought. I'm letting you into the prophetic thing, how it works, right? Got this God thought. This guy loves the Word of God, and he likes to write sermons. And I thought, okay, this guy's a pastor. I can do this one. So I went to prophesy, you're going to be a great pastor. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, no, he's a great writer. And so I prophesied that. And I'm going on and on saying, and I'm trying to fit this into what a pastor is. And it kept coming out. He's a great writer. He loves the Bible. God's got a hold of him, etc., etc. So we finished all these people. It was amazing to us what God did. And this Gordita lady, she said, okay, you've had your say. Now I'm going to let them have a rebuttal. And I went, what? I'm the professor. And I did the prophesying. They have no right to come back to me and rebuttal. I mean, I'm thinking negative. I'm ready to run. And that's why God gave me Phyllis. She knows me enough now. When I make this certain movement, I'm going to bolt. So she grabs me and doesn't let me go. You can ask her how many times I've tried to run off the stage. Anyway. And so this lady that we prayed for, she said, yes, I've been very sick and this is happening, and I was so excited that God's going to help me. We went through all this, and then this big tall guy, he stands up, he comes over to me, shakes my hand, he's up here. I'm sitting down and going, okay, what did I do wrong? He said, hi, I'm the vice president of Macedonia. I write the president's speeches, and I love the Bible. I've only been a Christian for a year and a half, and I've read it through 3 times already. Now, he said, that's no big deal in some ways because I'm always reading. But it's like, talk about a humble person. The next year, we got to go there, and we got to go for supper with them. And he said, you never guess what happened. I said, what? He said, I just love the Bible so much. And I'm going, yeah, I know that. He said, so I thought, our country's in trouble. We need to get more leaders, we need to train up leaders. And so I posed this question to myself, what is godly leadership? What is godly government? And I began looking it up in the Bible. And I gave 12 papers, basically, but there was a paragraph on each because the president is not going to read the whole thing, but stating what our government should be. And already 3 of those have been passed by Parliament. So you never know. And again, I'm not saying that to show how big and how great we are, right? The key is, are you doing what God's told you to do? Are you interceding the way God wants you to intercede? See, the problem with intercessors, they get stuff, and they like to talk about it right away. And that isn't necessarily good, because not even the pastor knows it yet. I mean, the way the system works, the intercessor get it first, then the prophetic, and maybe some people that are really close to God. It's usually the pastor that finds out last. I mean, I'm kind of joking, but so, you know, if you're an intercessor, don't talk so much. The key is intercede and be so excited that God gets to get, I mean, you get that first. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. You see, Jesus prophesied in love, regardless of what the message was. If you study it, Jesus gave some pretty heavy-duty prophetic words. But he always did it in love. And it's interesting how people reacted. And here's Jesus. He was speaking at a church. Only one person was there. He was at a well with this lady. And he begins talking, and she begins talking back to him. And then he poses a question that says, go get your husband. And she goes, I don't have a husband. And he says, well, you've actually had three. And he goes on, what does she do? She goes to town and blabs it all over the place and says, come and meet the man that told me everything about my life. You know, I'm not so sure you want to be prophetic, because things like that will happen to you. People go and say, oh, he told me everything about my life. No, God probably only told you one or two things. You know what? God loves to use prophecy, and it's going to actually happen even more. It's going to be more specific because we need it, because we're living in an evil world. We're living in a false world. We're living where witchcraft and Wicca and all this stuff is coming up. And they're being brave. In our own city in the last year and a half, three new businesses have all started in our downtown section that are all to do with psychic and the Happy Buddha and all this kind of stuff, right? And we're not doing anything as a church. And so that's part of the challenge, I think, that God wants to do with this church, is be brave, be strong. Yes, you've gone through hard times. You know what? So have most churches. Churches are God's instrument. You need to understand. Right? The church is God's way of doing things. He started it. And he said the gates of hell will not prevail. There's a big move more in the States than here, going back to cell groups, going back to this, going back to that. They have some good arguments. It's cheaper to have a home group than a church. Yep, absolutely. But there's something about corporate worship. There's something about getting together, regardless of whether the church is 8 or 10 people or thousands of people. It's that corporate thing. I will build my church, says the Lord, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Right. And sometimes we're our own worst enemies. And God loves, as it were, the faithful few. Because it's not about issues the church is having, or not about the money the church doesn't have, or this or that, or all these kind of problems. We're almost on the level of what was happening in the 70s, where churches got stalled because they would argue for a year whether the new carpet should be greener. Aqua. And let's get on to the kingdom of God stuff. So, I don't even know what our timing is. Do we do a break? I don't see any food, so we can't have a break. No, I won't keep you long. I'm going to jump ahead to this. You minister through the filter of your life, right? And that's what we don't get. Now, sometimes that filter's pretty dirty. Other times it's clean. In my own case, I started to tell you about the story. I didn't find out until the early 80s that women could be in leadership or ministry. So sometimes God would give me a prophetic word, and it's like God would say, this woman is going to be a pastor someday. But what came out of my mouth is God wants to use you for an amazing ladies' Bible study. And you will lead it and you will do this and this and this. All of that was true, but there was more than that. And so 2 years later, I'm at the Church of God Bible College in Saskatchewan, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. And they're asking us as a prophetic team to minister to all the graduates of that school. And all of a sudden, when God told me and showed me, there is no more Jew, no more Greek, no more male, no more female, that I started getting convicted, and I thought, that's where it filters through who your life is. On one hand, that's a bad thing, but on the other hand, that's a really good thing. Because you know what? When God uses you for a word for a particular person, it has to come only through you. I can't go around stealing a prophetic word from somebody and give it to somebody else. Sometimes prophetic people kind of do that because they think, this is a cool word, I need to give that to this person. I'm being honest. But sometimes, most of the time, you're the exact person to bring that word to that person at that moment, through your personality, through who you are, through all that you've gone through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God loves to use his people. And let's go back, Genesis 1. God did this and it was good. God did that and it was good. When it came to us, what did he say? Very good. Like, really cool. It's the thing that he's invented that is the most amazing thing. There is nobody like you in the world. I mean, it's true. They say you can find your double in the world. I think I've found two or three people that look like me. But you're unique. Your ministry is unique. And we need to train people in all the gifts. And some people have a ministry. As we go into this, you'll see this. So what our job is to keep seeking God, growing in God, asking him to take out stuff, the dross, if you will, that's not good, to get that out of there. And the best way to do that is actually be part of a church, be part of a body. Because it can't just be you and 100 Facebook friends getting your act together. It doesn't quite work that way. We need each other.
Yes.
We really do need each other. And it doesn't have to be big or small. And what we have to do is love each other, care for each other, and still be honest. How can you do that? That's the hard part. What if you see something in somebody that's not right? What do you do? Well, the first thing is go to the Father with it. Because it could be that God revealed it to you, but your job isn't to go and blab it and say, "Aah! I know this about you." I know some prophetic people that do that. "Aah!" Listen, the truth is, yes, God reveals sin. But he does it in a loving, kind way that nobody else will even know what come out. Oh, that's a cute story about that kid and his grandma. The guy was selling drugs. But God convicted him through his word, not me. It's God who does this stuff through us. And we need to be willing vessels. You see, we prophesy in part and we know in part. And the key, the whole key to being successful prophetic is to keep getting yourself out of the way. And keep asking God, is there any pollution in me? I adopted a new word. Right? Instead of sin, because sin seems really bad. But we all have pollutions, right? You can't see pollution sometimes, but if you let the pollution go, eventually it will kill you, right? So the key is God, help me work out my pollution. He doesn't want to expose you. That's not the idea. But he will, through conviction, begin to show you things. And the more open you are, the less likely it'll be as harsh as you think it will be. I love it when in John 1, 47, 51, you know the story of Nathanael. He's kind of a dude. He wanted to see Jesus. And he's just sitting at the tree, and Jesus came up and said, "Here's a guy in whom there is no guile." And it's like, wow. Wouldn't you like to hear that from God? Aren't we built as a society to expect the worst? When the boss calls and said, "I want to talk to you," what's the first thing you say? "I'm in trouble." You may be, But we need to take a better look at this. What you need to do when the boss calls and you go, oh, am I in trouble? You need to say, oh God, oh God, oh God, what is it? What in me do I need to fix? And while you're on the way to the appointment, ask God to help you with it. The boss still may yell at you, but the key is you and God are going to be okay. So some things that happen to us are God trying to work it out. So it's not so much the accuracy that's most important, or the way you speak it, or the power of the anointing. I am for the anointing. Every time we ask to speak, especially prophetic, we pray, I call it praying your brains out, until we sense the anointing, because we don't want to dare step out there and say anything unless it's God. So we check and recheck the word. There is the powerful unction of the Holy Spirit, but it's not automatic mouth. It comes through who you are, your personality, your brain, every part of you. And it is, desire the best gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Somehow we don't get that. This stuff happened even back in the Old Testament, right? Holy Spirit came, and God told all the leaders to come together, meet at the camp at the meeting. Two of the guys stayed back because they were Calgary Flames. They were watching the Flame games, right? And the Holy Spirit fell, and they all began to prophesy, including the two dudes who disobeyed Moses, were at home watching TV, and they prophesied. And so, as it is in all churches, there's always those people that they see, oh, they blew it. Pastor, guess what? Guess what? They're at a Flames game instead of being a church. And what was Moses' response? I wish to God that everybody would be a prophet, prophesy. So why is that? What's the whole thing? The whole thing is the tongue. Genesis 1, God spoke and it was so. Prophecy is spoken. Prophecy is spoken. It's the very voice of God using an ordinary vessel to speak to you, his children. God loves to speak to us as children. We are his children. And he does. And we learned that from years and years. We get people, we go to churches we've never been, and the first thing happens, there's some people come up and say, no matter how bad it is, I want you to go ahead and prophesy. Go ahead, tell me all my bad stuff. I said, well, do you know what your bad stuff is? Well, yeah. Okay, talk to God about it. You don't need me to be spitting it out. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's kind of a heart I want to deal with my life. That's a good heart to have. That's a really good heart to have. And God will do that. We there's some churches that for years now we've ministered in. And when we get there, sometimes the leadership will say, we want to go deep. We prepped our people. We've been fasting and praying for 3 days. If there's anything in us, God, go ahead and expose it. And God will do that. I remember years ago, Paul Kane, he's in this meeting where they told him they could go deep. And he called a guy out and he said, yeah, he said, it's interesting. He said, you know, my mom used to be a telephone operator when I was a young boy. And we always used to listen in all the conversations. Well, you know, the other day when you were talking to this guy, well, this is what you said and this is what you said. And it wasn't very good what they said. But you see, the key is some of the churches we go to are mature enough that they're willing to let that happen. Because, you know, sometimes we don't know what's in us. But the key is if you keep going and asking God. See, the key is be the very most amazing person you can be today with what you have and where you're at. The truth is, none of us are totally honest with ourselves. But we can become more and more honest as things go. We've been in situations in Regina, we're in this church where they actually hired us for 5 years in a row to come each March for a week and minister to the church. They had their church praying for 3 or 4 days, fasting went deep. And so this one case, there's these two young guys in the back, and we told them again, right, the pastors, leaders, we hope you guys are prayed up. Are you willing to go deeper? God may expose some things. And so everybody agreed again, the leadership said something about it. They said, okay, you two fellows, come and stand by this guy here. And there's this guy in the front row, guy about 6 foot tall. And I said, I want you to stand beside them because at the end of this word, you need to talk to this guy. And they're kind of, you know, kids are kids. And I said, well, the truth is, Jesus was with you when you two beat up that old man at the bank machine last night. And it's the mercy of God that that man is not dead. And oh, by the way, God showed me that the man sitting right there is an RCMP officer. And he loves Jesus, and he loves people, and he wants to help you. And you could see one of the kids was about to run. But this guy gave him a look, and they didn't. So that's been our experience, but that isn't every day that that happens. But sometimes God shows you things, and you can't say them, and that's really hard. That's the hard part about being prophetic and intercessors. You only get to speak about 10-15% of what you get. And if we can get that, God will use you more and more for prophetic. Because it's not about you. It's about God healing his people, setting his people free. But more than that, prophecy brings life. It can be the spark to do. I've heard story after story. I don't know if some of you are a little bit older. You ever heard of Judson Cornwell? Amazing speaker, amazing writer, amazing teacher of the Word of God. He would not have been in that ministry except some prophetic guy gave him a word way, way back when. You'll see at the beginning of one of his books, he'll give glory to God and say, I would never thought I could do this. But this guy picked me out and said, you're to do this. And over we're running into people that somewhere, somehow, somebody gave him a word. Sometimes they may not have even known it. So if I haven't scared you off by now, finish with this. Sometimes a prophecy confirms what you already know or whatever is happening in your life. It's still prophecy. The body of Christ has made the mistake in the last 10 years of going to places and getting prophetic words, and if they don't hear anything new, they kind of discount it. It's still the Word of God. It's just him encouraging, confirming, helping you get more into it. And so don't, as it were, despise small beginnings, if you were. Don't go around looking for new words. Go with the word that you have now. And if another prophetic person comes up, or a person just prays and get a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, take it as a confirming thing. Yes, I can do this. I can do this through Christ who gives me strength. We're in danger of the church of taking that scripture and saying, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. The key is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes. It's not on our own. I don't know what else to do. I'm kind of finished. I'm over 25 now. Sometimes I get tired. And a couple of years ago, I had cancer of the throat, so my voice starts going when I get weak and tired. But just so we know, you're definitely prophetic. You got some intercessor, and that's caused some relationship problems. So if you can hear this the right way, Don't just speak your mind. Let me say it this way. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. And the reason God's saying that, because you're such a sweet little girl, that's what he would say to you. Just be careful what your little mouth will say. And hear the voice of the Father and speak it. Some of the prophecies you'll never be able to speak, but you could always come to church someday and prophesy them out, and they'll happen. So I just want to bless you. And this guy here, I don't know.
Mr. Clean.
I know he told me, but I'm sorry. Wes. Lord, I just pray for this, for Wes. And you actually have a watchman ministry. And when you were young, you were very, very curious. And then some things happened in your life. And so some of that kind of turned into suspicion sometime. And that's ruined some things for you. But the key is that you're a watchman. And a watchman just doesn't find out what the problems are. A watchman on the wall stands no matter whether it's rain or sleet nor snow. It sounds like mailman, hey? Yeah, right? And that coming, they're watching. And the key is watching for the goodness of God to come. So there's going to be times that it may be God's provision, or there may be a new wave of grace coming, or a new wave of mercy. I don't know if you've been in church long enough, you'll see that there's ebbs and flows in churches, right? It may be 5 or 6 Sundays worship is rah, 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 and then it's a quiet, peaceful thing. Well, as a watchman, part of your job is to start discerning that. What's God doing? What's the provision he's bringing? Is it grace? Is it mercy? Is it his power? Is it his uplifting? Is it, it's going to be okay? And some of that, kind of like an intercessor, watchman can see stuff because they're up on that wall. All of us are huddled inside, looking at each other, going, what's going on? But you get the privilege of seeing stuff ahead of time. And so I want you to, I don't know if you go to this church or do you guys know each other.
He watches over it. Literally.
Oh, like physically?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, but like, are you like the church mouse type person? No. Do you know what a church mouse is? Yeah. No. Anyway. So, but share it with the leadership. And ask for clear vision. Because in the leadership, with the prophetic, with the intercessor, now we've got what God's going to do. And the gift of pastors is the timing. Prophetic or lousy timing. Intercessors are actually worse. Now, that could be an opinion. No, anyway. But right? But pastors have that ability when to release that stuff or when to hold it back. So don't be discouraged. It's not that they don't listen to you. Same with some of your intercessors. You're saying, oh, wait a minute. I got that. They're not doing anything about it. The timing is not your issue. The timing is give what you've got. Let it happen. And let God use you. And I don't know if you do it, but I'm challenging you to do that. When you're kind of around, just kind of walk around a place, kind of lay your hands on different chairs. Ask God, which chair should I put my hand on? Maybe a few chairs, maybe. And then watch. Write some things down and see what happens. I guarantee you, you'll go, whoa. That's happening there, and that guy, I prayed over that chair. It's a fun thing. It's a fun thing. I'm not sure what to do. Ah, okay, the lady with the, you kind of got a cloak or something, whatever that is, sweater. God has given you what's called Song of the Lord. And it's like prophetic, but it's, I hope you know, in the Bible it says God rejoices over us with singing. And so there's going to be times that you're supposed to, as it were, sing over the church. Now, as you get used to this, it's not getting up here this Sunday and starting with this big opera and you sing it to them. It's just as you walk in the church, you're wandering around, finding out where you're going to sit. Who are you supposed to sing over? Who is God going to sing over through you? And you can just kind of hum it, but ask God for the words. And just kind of be there, be available to sing. And then the key is watch these things happen. That will give you more courage to do more things. See, specifically what God's saying is the voice of the Lord is over the waters. And if you know anything about sound, if you take some big bass speakers and put them in a lake and play them, it'll cause ripples. And so God wants you to use your voice for him, okay? And what you need to do in the next couple of nights is let God wake you up with a song. Go to bed and say, God, I give you permission to sing to me tonight. And then have some paper and a pencil or something. Maybe not a pen, because you know pens don't always work. And see if you get some of that song, because he wants to sing over you. He knows your beginning. He knows your end. And there's a part about 8-10 years ago that it's like, oh my goodness, I don't think I can do this. And your heart wept and wept and wept. And first off, God wants to let you know it wasn't your fault and it's not your fault. And he was with you and he will be with you. And so some of the singing you get will actually be healing songs, because you allowed him, you actually had to force yourself to give him permission to heal you, because you weren't sure you were worthy enough to have that happen. But he's healed your heart in so many ways. And I want you to be brave tonight. Just before you go to bed, go and look in the mirror. Close your eyes for a few seconds. Just kind of center yourself in God. Open your eyes again. And you'll be able to see the way God sees you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He chose you before the foundation of the world to be the beautiful woman you are. So the old is gone. Let the new come. And be a part of the body. Be a part of his kingdom. And the singing will burst out. So I bless you. I think that's it. I'm getting a little shaky. And I want to just...
Let us pray for you.
Okay. And for Phyllis. Yep. She said she's feeling a little bit better.
Is she?
Yeah.
She told you that prophetically?
Okay.
If any of you feel something, come and pray for David and...
Okay, I burnt the pancakes last week. I'm sorry. No, I'm joking.
Thanks, Lord. Thanks for talking to us tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Using David as your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, for fun and for good words about prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for using David and Phyllis all over the world. So cool.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, David has given out to us tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Would you pour back into him?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. As the river flows, just let the water of your word flow into him and through
Thank
him
Lord.
And over him,
mm-hmm.
bringing strength and
Thank
encouragement
yeah.
and new words, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The blessing of a prophet is to receive words, revelation.
Thank you, Lord.
Reveal things to your trusted servant, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, as we're praying for David, he and Phyllis are one. Would you strengthen her?
Yeah.
Rise her up from the bed of affliction and allow her to enjoy her time here.
Yes.
Lord, we look forward to seeing her tomorrow night
mm-hmm.
and on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And we look forward to hearing from her. She is a delight, Lord. Mm-hmm. And the two of them work beautifully together.
Mm-hmm.
Strengthen her and bring her out to that.
Yes.
Lord, would you let her have your peace tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Peace that passes all understanding. Let her not be in any way guilty for not coming here tonight. She did the better thing to strengthen tonight.
Yeah.
And we honor her for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody have anything they want to?
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for David and Phyllis, Lord, that you've sent them here, Lord. They've been obedient and willing to go where you tell them to go. David, I had a picture of a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And the lighthouse, the light was going around and shining out, but the light was dim.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Lord is saying that he is going to make that light brighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's by his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, even before you came up during the worship time, I saw a picture of this light, and I was asking the Lord about it, and I just felt the Lord was saying that the light is getting brighter. It's the light of the Lord, and things that are hidden. There was something that was behind a tree that was in the dark, and it just wasn't showing up. You couldn't see it. But this light got brighter, and then this thing that was behind the tree was starting to be exposed.
Mm.
So, Father, as David and Phyllis continue to go, Father, by your Spirit, Lord, that the light of your Spirit would be bright, Father, as they go in and minister, Lord. Mm-hmm. We know that your heart is that the dark things would be exposed and that the light of Christ would just bring life and expose the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Lord, that the light of you, the light of Christ, is growing. And Father, Father, let that be true in David and Phyllis, Lord God, as they minister. Mm-hmm. And that the light of this lighthouse, Lord, as it shines around, Lord, it would get brighter and brighter, exposing the places of like the rocks and the things that could be places of disaster and destruction. But that you would shine your light on those things, Lord. For your goodness, Father.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, God.
Yeah. So I think that what I was seeing is linked kind of with what Ron was saying. And what I was seeing was a vessel, a beautiful vessel, but it was very, it wasn't brightly colored or it wasn't anything like that, but that it was very, very, very around the edge of the top of the vessel. You know, like it was a shape where it was wider here and then down and, you know, that kind of, So where at the very top it was pure gold.
Mm.
I mean, gold. Mm. Very, very beautiful gold.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a transparent, beautiful, pure gold. And I felt like, in even as you were talking, Ron, that, you know, that's very interesting because I felt like you've been... you know that you have no pretense about being anything but who you are, and it was like this solid vessel.
Mm.
But what I think God is going to do is increase that, the anointing. It's like it's your lips, it's your mouth, the mouthpiece of this this earthly body.
Yeah.
He's so anointing.
Mm.
With like greater than it was, and
you,
even you know you talked about the timing coming here, and you know I wondered about that too, and I just felt such gratitude that you're here because this is really this is the real thing for our church. It's the real thing for the church. There's something. So you know, very few people are hearing this, but or being here and hearing what you're saying. It's almost like if they only knew, if they only knew. It's like that kind of thing. And so we don't want to miss what God is doing. Like it's golden what you're giving and what you're going to be giving. Like with the light that Ron was talking about, it's brighter and it's golden. It's very beautiful, but it's all about your mouth and your lips and the anointing. So I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for increase.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that you are anointing. You are you know, David said about the anointing before. It is about mm-hmm. the anointing, but that you are increasing the
yes.
anointing.
Yep.
And it's for this hour and this time,
yes.
this time, the way the yep. world is right now. But mm-hmm. what a gift we mm-hmm. are receiving. Little do we know what you have in store mm-hmm. for those who seek you. And so, Lord, I pray that there would be beautiful rest for yep. David tonight and Phyllis, mm-hmm. beautiful rest.
Yes,
and
Lord.
And I don't know what it was, why this had to happen, but for Phyllis, I know she'll be fine tomorrow. Mm-hmm. She'll be fine, and we thank you for that, mm-hmm. Lord. We thank you yep. for deep rest in Jesus' yep. name.
Amen.